Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for this day that you have made, Lord God. And so, Holy God, we come before you and we stand here. And as we come, we remember those who are suffering now in Texas, Lord God, in Houston and the other cities around, Lord God. We pray for our fellow neighbors, our larger, greater community in the United States. The devastation, we have been told, is large and huge, Lord God. And so we are praying for them. We know that money cannot replace, but we are praying that you'll save lives, Lord God, and hold back the hurricane. Have mercy upon them this morning. And as we come today, we ask you to give us the hope and to continue to hope on you and to remember them in prayers, Lord God. And speak a word for us now. Those of us who are here, a word that we could live by. Holy God, we are depending on you. And so speak because we're listening. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so today we come to this time of the service, and it's been an exciting day. It is summertime and it's live, and when things are live, things happen, and it's wonderful. Because you know, when it's live and something happens that is not perfect, it gets your attention. Doesn't it get your attention? Everybody's awake now because we had to sing the song, another verse of another song. Isn't that exciting? This is what it's all about. Could you imagine what happened with Jesus, right? Nothing was written. Jesus didn't have a book like this. Could you imagine all the things that happened in Jesus' time? The sheep were baying as he was speaking and goats were running. Can't you just picture it? Come on now. It wasn't just perfect. No, something happened. A woman had her baby, baby's crying, people are running around. You think of it. You think of the Sermon on the Mount and all of that. Excitement. And sometimes we get so much, you know, into our pattern and form that we put one foot before the next foot, and if we have to put a foot sideways, we get confused. Well, today we put a foot sideways. Isn't that exciting? Oh, praise the Lord. That's why I'm a preacher, you see. I could get good out of anything. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless the name of Jesus. And so here we are, and my sermon title is, and I've got good news for you today, you and me, we are the church. Can you imagine? We are the church. Now, I read this this story, and again, this little reflection. It says, perhaps you've heard the old story about Jesus appearing in heaven just after his resurrection. Jesus is given a progress report on all that has happened while he was on earth. Moses is there and he asks him, well, Jesus, did you leave things in capable hands? Jesus responds, I did. I have left behind Mary and Martha and Peter and the other disciples. Moses said, what if they fail? Jesus said, well, I've established the church and filled it with the Holy Spirit, and they will carry on. And Moses said, what if they fail? Came the reply, I have no other plans. So friends, Jesus has no other plans to spread the gospel but you and me. Right? So we are not supposed to what? Fail. He has no other plans. It was ordained that way, that you and me are the ones. It has been pointed out that the church is always one generation from extinction. If we don't spread the gospel, it will be just one generation away from disappearing from the face of the earth. We keep hearing that, yet the church is growing in other parts of the world, you know, in leaps and bounds. It is a compelling idea, isn't it? It enhances our Christian sense of responsibility. We need to get out there and work for the gospel, or the church could fade into history. That should make us want to do that, shouldn't it? There's a great tension there. God is at work here in our church, but we have been given the keys of the kingdom, you and me. Could you imagine that Jesus would choose us, right? choose us to give us the keys of the kingdom. We have work to do, and Christ calls us to do it. The prophet Micah put it this way: do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Right? We are the church. We have that song that is in our hymnal: I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we are the church together. Do we know that? The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is what? A people. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church together. And the second verse says, we are many kinds of people with many kinds of faces and all colors and all ages, two from all times and places. You are the church. I am the church. We are the church together. This is a building that we have church in. But you know, if none of you came one Sunday, none of us came, the benches can't sing. Benches cannot sing. Whether they're cushioned or they're not cushioned, or they're hard as rock, they cannot sing. Did you know that? The piano could play, but it'd be playing, can't play by itself. The carpet cannot get up and read the words of the scripture, can it? Can't do it. The stained glass windows, as beautiful as they look, can't worship God. Right? I've never heard a stained glass window that says, praise the Lord. I've never heard a stained glass window that prayed or did anything like that. And sometimes we get caught up in things. Yes, we are blessed of the Lord to have a nice, clean place to sit and it looks lovely, but it's not the church. You look at the person next to you and just look at them, and for a moment, whoever is next to you, and think about it. They are the church. And I am the church. We are the one that Jesus Christ died for. We are the one who has to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? If none of us were here next week, no sound would be made out here, except if somebody comes in here to put on the fan. We are the ones who could worship God. We are the ones who serve the community. We are the ones who open up a food pantry. We are the ones who have after-school programs. We are the ones who visit folks in the hospital. We are the ones who do that. We are the ones who wash the floors. We are the ones who turns on the light. We are the church. We are the ones who prepare the communion. And most of all, we are the ones who spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And anytime we think we are minuscule, or we don't mean much to Christ, we mean much to Christ, because as I just read the reflection, it says, when they ask Jesus, what if they don't do it? He says he has no other plan. We are his plan to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, it seems like this responsibility we have, but guess what? It should make us feel good that Jesus would think so much of us that he would want us to spread the gospel. You know, the word church in the Bible comes from the Greek word, and it's called ecclesia, which means to be called out, to company or assemble. To come together, to assemble. Wherever it's used in the Bible, it refers to people. It can be a mob of people, can be the children of Israel, and the body of Christ, as we see in Ephesians. We see the word used in three different ways. We see throughout the Bible showing us that the church are individuals, or people coming together. And now we are going to see Jesus talk to Peter, ask him a question, and the disciples. You see, oftentimes we talk about the church in abstract. Do you know what in abstract we talk about the church? We says, oh, the church. The church, like the church is this other thing, right? I'm not going to the church like it's something else. You're not coming to the building, because if you don't show up, there is no church. Right? And we say it is like this thing out here, that we have nothing to do with. But friends, I come to tell you today, we are the church. And Jesus is looking down and expecting us to do something. Right? The scripture says if we don't worship him and praise him, the very rocks will cry out. Right? That's why when God created heavens and the earth, he didn't make wood and mortar to sing. The plan is we are the ones who could sing and worship the Lord. Whether we're singing in the right tune or not, we're still singing. Praises be to God. And so here's the question Jesus is going to ask his disciples. He asked them this question, and he's asking us the question again. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets, he said to them. But then he asked an individual question, as he asked all of us today. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who do I say that Jesus is? It's an individual question and confession that the Lord expects us to make. And then Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." You are the Messiah, the one to come to save the world. Messiah. The anointed one, the word Messiah, anointed one who's going to come to save the world, Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." And so Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Peter, because something had to tell you that. Human being didn't tell you. It is a faith journey, you must know. And I tell you," Jesus said, "you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not prevail against it." And what was that rock? Was it a stone? Now a couple of theologians have come with different reasoning. The rock, one of them is that the rock on which the church is built may be Peter's inspired confession of faith in Jesus Christ. So our faith in Jesus Christ is that rock that God is building his church. You understand? When we say, "Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ," that's what the church is being built on. Our faith. Our faith that has propelled us or continues to keep us to come to church. Listen, I said to some folks the other day, and they were having some problems in whatever, there were discussions in their church, another church, a Methodist church, but not here. And they were having some, and I said to the gentleman, I said, "You know, he was talking about this and the pastor this and whoever that," and I says, "Listen, that's your church. You've made a commitment to Jesus Christ. You've made a commitment. You just don't walk away because you get mad. Just don't walk away. You're not, none of us are perfect. You're imperfect. I am imperfect." Whatever I says, "You love this place, you've been here, it needs a lot of work, it's in trouble financially. You just don't walk away because you get mad. It's like a marriage, right? And you try to come through and try to figure out ways until the end. Pastors come and go, people come and go, but you just don't walk away. It's not some abstract thing that you shouldn't care about. It is your church. You are the church. You can't walk away from yourself. You are the church. Come on now, church. You're the church, right?" And so, you know, it is our faith and belief why somebody like Ellen, and many of you here, but as Ellen is leaving, who would stay for 63 years in this place. Was everything right in 63 years? Come on. Pastors have come and gone. You are imperfect, and so are the pastors. The only perfect one is Jesus Christ. None of us are perfect here. And we start, you know, trying to pinpoint what people do and do. None of us are perfect. We are imperfect together. I used to have a guy who was my trustee, head of trustee, named Art Cool. And Art was a procrastinator. Oh, God bless him. I love him dearly. He came here to visit with his thing, you know, won't leave me alone. Came with his bro, he drove all the way from Connecticut. And all it was that you would ask Art, Art, they got to fix this doorbell. I mean, I was there for 11 years and the doorbell didn't fix and I still left, you know, because I had to move. I says, Art, could you fix this doorbell? And every time you say, oh, yes, Pastor, I'm going to do it, wouldn't happen. God bless him. But he was faithful. And his grandfather and so had helped to build. He was faithful to the church. But when you need something done, God bless him. So one day we're in the meeting, in the trustee meeting. And I says, Art, Art, I'm always calling him. He says, what he misses most is not me calling his name day by day. I says, yes, I'm calling your name. And I would say, Art, Art, where are you? So Art said, in the middle of the meeting, I says, Art, you mean you didn't do that again? And he says, Reverend Nunes, just remember, I'm imperfect servant of the Lord. I couldn't top that, right? He just looked at me and he said, just remember, Reverend Nunes, I am an imperfect servant of the Lord. So every time something wasn't done, he would say, remember, I'm imperfect. And so the idea is, we are working and serving God in our imperfection. And the Lord knew that we would be imperfect people, but he would use us anyhow. The idea is that his faithfulness. And Art has been in that church. He's in his late 70s. He has been in that church all his life. Right? Things happened. He went through a divorce, left a little bit and come back. But always faithful to the end. Right? Because that's the faith. That's the rock Christ is talking about. Our faith is the rock. These people are wishy-washy. Every time every wind blows, you know, something blows, it says, oh, I can't stand those people in church. You know, Billy Graham had a thing once, and he said this woman wrote up something to Billy Graham and says, oh, I'm not going back to church. Those people are terrible. They're hypocrites, and they're this, and they're that, and he goes on. And Billy Graham says, I'm going to tell you, now you've left your church because they're hypocrites and they don't say what is right and they're talking about. He says, when you go to the next church and you find that perfect church and you show up, the moment you show up, it's going to be what? An imperfect church. Because you're going to be the first imperfect person that shows up there. So the idea is, if you're going to, there's going to be something imperfect. We are the church, right? Or it continues. The text continues to remind us now that the church itself was built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Because we believe, we are supposed to tell somebody else that we believe. Because we believe, we are expected to tell someone else that we believe. Now, Zamzam is not down here, but we went, and I won't call the church name. It's here on Long Island. So we went to a little prayer group at the church. And when I called up and I says, oh, you know, I looked in the thing and I said, the MapQuest says one thing and something else. And so I called the pastor and she says, when you come to the church, you got to drive up a winding path to get to the church. And I'm thinking, I got to go up a winding path to get to a church. And it's the main road, right? So we get there. It's going to be the prayer group. It's going to be 7 o'clock. So we get there and we are driving up and we drive up this path. You can barely see the street, the church from the street. Methodist church, more east. And so, and then there is, so I get to the church and we're in there and the pastor says afterwards, a colleague, and she said, oh, you know, Marjorie, I need to talk to you. We need some help here and we need to sit. I'm having some struggles and I'm thinking and I'm looking around and I'm thinking to myself. So after the service, we are coming out now. There is no light outside, and we're going down that winding thing to get onto the main road, which is one of those big, you know, streets like 106. So I said to Zamzam, this is like a treasure hunt. Trying to find the church is like a treasure hunt, right? You can't see it. I'm telling you. It's like I'm a Christian, but don't tell anybody. It's a treasure hunt. I'm going to call the DS, and I'm going to call the conference. You're complaining that churches are not growing. We need to be helping churches understand that. The whole front, they own the property in the front. It's all big trees. And you could barely see the little sign, right? And then you could see a little sign that is all washed out at the front. And who's going to want to find a church like that? What do they need in church? Two doors down, there was a Baptist church right up front in the main, the front of the roadway, the next church. It was like we were looking for treasure. Yes, the treasure is Jesus Christ, but he says for us to go out and make disciples. We got to be seen.
right? We got to be seen. I'm so flabbergasted. And one of the guys who is complaining about his church, he's been there a long time, and I'm going to call him. I told his wife to tell him to call me, because I want to say to him, all that complaining you're making, turn that energy around and figure out how you could clear these bushes in front of your church and get a big sign so people could see you from the road. And he's a trustee for the conference. And I said, you tell him to call me. And I'm going to say, who do you have to call in your town? You own the property. Cut the trees down. Open up so the little church can be shown and put a sign. Because nobody's going to find this treasure. They're in the witness protection program. Jesus says we should be witnesses. Go to all the world and preach the gospel. He never said we should be in the witness protection program. Last time I checked, right? Paul said to Timothy, be a witness. And that church is locked up in the witness protection program. Not even the FBI or the CIA can find it. You know what I mean? We are supposed to go forth to Jesus. He's telling him, I am building my church on you, and I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Right? And whatever you bind on earth, he says, that means we have got the keys to the kingdom of heaven. You know what it is? Our belief in Jesus Christ. That's the key. Our belief in his power to heal, our belief in his power to save, our belief in his power to bring salvation. We've got the keys, and we're supposed to give that key, to use that key and tell it to other people, church. We got to tell it to other people. Give them the hope of Christ, because we are the church, because this can't tell them. Right? This by itself will not tell them. We have to tell them about Jesus Christ. We have to get out of the witness protection program and go forth. Jesus said this to Peter. And Peter knew that. He says, I'm going to build my church on you, on your faith. Now, you know, we have a series that I used to use, and I no longer have it. I couldn't put it on my head mic today because nowhere to put it. But and this little series used to be, the kids used to use it for confirmation. And it says four things. It says, the name above all names, these little books easy to read. The name above all name is the first one. The back of it says, I choose Jesus Christ. Right? The name above all name, and as their confirmants, they're choosing Jesus Christ. The name above all name. The second one says, the name I claim. Right? And it says, I give to God my heart, my head, my heart, and my hands. The name I claim. That's the name I claim. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Church, are we followers of Jesus Christ? That's the name we claim. We are Christian believers. We must be proud of it. And we must tell someone. And then it says, the third one, proclaim the name. Proclaim the name. Once you claim it, you must proclaim it, right? And it says the back, I will. You got to tell somebody. Somebody somewhere. And then the last one says about that name. God's grace is always at work in my life. God's work grace is always in our lives, at work in our lives. And as I want to bring this in, Paul now says to the church at Rome, he says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Does it mean that we shouldn't eat or we shouldn't have a drink? No. You know, people look at all the physical things. We should present ourselves as sacrifice to the Lord, right? We should be able to know what is right and what is wrong and how to live holy. He says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice. To present your bodies as living sacrifice to the Lord, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That means we who are Christian believers of Jesus Christ, we are held to a higher standards. Doesn't say that we can't have fun. Doesn't say we can't have go out and, you know, and look lovely. And because I wouldn't pass that, would I? Right? Because I like to have a little fun, and I like to do some shopping. I'm sure I'm carrying a little empty space in my, even though we're going for mission to Korea, Somebody, one of my colleagues who is Korean, pastor, she says, oh, Marjorie, there is a store in Korea, she told me last week. Right? And I said, you can't, don't tell me that now. She says, yes, I'm just telling you, so you get some of your money ready. Just, we got to be shopping. So, you know, but we're Christians, and we believe in Jesus Christ, and we're going to go there and do good work, and I'm going to make a gift to the mission. But while I'm doing it, I'm going to, you know what I'm going to do, right? I'm not going to lie, one of the commandments. You know what I'm, no matter what I say, you know I'm going to see something through the corner of my eye and like, and I'm looking sideways and I'm saying, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. And then I'll hear the voice, come. Right? Because, you know, it, am I not going to go? Yes, I am. Yeah, that's right. Don't forget the church. Because we are the church, right? So it's not those little things that are making, it's understanding that we're going to do good. We're going to treat each other well. We're going to strive to do mission. We have accepted Christ. We're going to love our neighbors as we love our friends. We love ourselves. We're going to do what the Lord asks us to do. That's what it means. The things that are hard, and we're not going to sin against God willingly and know it, right? We're not going to do what the world is doing. We're not going to carry on and hate each other and so on. We are going to do what God has called us to do, right? And then, so we want to be able to say, what do I have to do to make my body a living sacrifice? Is Jesus asking us to burn ourselves? No. It means that some things we have to give up may be a sacrifice. Right? It's like when you go to Weight Watchers. Another one of my passions. You go to Weight Watchers and they say you can't eat this or you can't eat that. And it becomes a living sacrifice. Right? Because you can't eat it. You can't eat that cake that is you love so much. And it's a sacrifice for you. You say, I can't have it. I can't have it. So the point is, that's what it means. That now we can't do everything as Christians. We have to make choices to please God. Choices to please God. Right? So he wants us to do that. And he says, remember now that we're one body with many different gifts. Everybody can't do the same thing. We each have different gifts, right? Some of us are what? We have different gifts. Some of us can prophesy in proportion with faith. Some of us have the ministry of teaching. Some of us have the ministry of exhortation. Some of us have we're givers. We are very generous. We each have different gifts. But we are one body. We are the church. So you could do one. You could do some knitting. She could do some cooking. Somebody else works in the food pantry. Somebody else could pray. Whatever it is, we come together because we are the church. You and me. And that's a great gift God has given us today, church. All around the world, you and I are called to spread the gospel. And that's what we're trying to do here at Ixville United Methodist Church. As I close, we are trying to spread the gospel. We're trying to use new tools to spread the gospel. Why? Because it's right before us. 60 or 70 years ago, when I read the history of this church, there might have been 500, 600, 700 people, 800 people coming here. The community was different. People did not travel and live outside of their community. Everybody lived in the community, worked in the community, came to church. I went back to read Sunday school was 300 and 70 years ago, and maybe at Easter 1,000 people. That has completely changed, right? So we have to find new ways to continue to be church here, and still proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm leaving you with exciting news, church. You are the church. I am the church. We are the church together. And on that rock of our belief in accepting Jesus Christ and as our Lord and Savior, on that rock, our faith, we continue to serve Jesus Christ. Amen.